On our review, on our 100 questions, we're going to do some of the 100 questions before we get to the drill questions that are associated with the lesson today. And Mr. Ennen, if you'll bring the mic up here to the front. We're going to start right here with Mr. Wyatt. And Mr. Wyatt is going to say the Old Testament books. If you'll speak up, Mr. Wyatt, go right ahead. Thank you. Now, since Wyatt can say that, everybody that's older than Wyatt in this audience can say those, right? Thank you, Wyatt. Okay, Raylan, which of those books are books of law? And then tell me which are books of history and which are books of poetry and which are the major prophets and the minor prophets. So start with which are the books of law? Okay, and which are the books of history?
Joshua, through
Esther. Good. Joshua through Esther, right. And so the books of poetry?
Job through Solomon.
Okay, and which are the major prophets?
Isaiah through Daniel.
Okay, and what are the minor prophets? Okay, thank you. All right, bring it over here, Matt. We've got Mr. John Michael, who's going to say the books of the New Testament.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Timothy.
Very good. Thank you, sir. All right. Take it right back there to Aurora. Aurora, I want you to say tell me who the sons of Jacob are.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin.
Very good. Now, since these young people all know that, all the older people know it too, right? Surely we do, right? Okay, take it back to your daughter. Mackenzie, who's the first man and woman?
Adam and Eve.
Who were their boys?
Cain and Abel.
All right, do you know what happened to Abel?
He was killed.
That's right. Okay, good. Thank you, Matt. All right, let's look at the questions for the lesson today. Lesson 8 at the top are some drill questions. Remember, you're not supposed to look at your notes when you answer these questions. This is all memory work. To whom was the Old Testament law given? Okay, Matt? I thought you wanted to answer the question. Thank you, Matt. To whom was the Old Testament law given? Who? Israelites. The nation of Israel. That's right. And our next question is, why was it given?
Because of transgression and to lead us to Christ in the plan of redemption.
All right, good answer. Because of transgressions, to lead us to Christ. That's in Galatians chapter 3. We talked about that in our study. All right. It was intended to last until when? Until what? Until Christ came. That's right. Good. Thank you, Elizabeth. So the tutor to lead us to Christ when Christ came. Paul said, we're no longer under the law. What bearing does all of that have on us today as to how we serve God?
We're not under that law.
We're not under that law. Give me some practical applications of that.
We don't have to make sacrifices.
We don't have to make sacrifices. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. And you're not authorized to use instruments of music because it's in the Old Testament, right? You're not required to keep the Sabbath holy as the Jews were. And these are some of the differences in religion today. So some of these basic things we're learning in this overview have very practical applications. Okay. We're looking at the Jewish dispensation, which the Jewish dispensation is a period of time from about 1500 B.C. to the first century, right? It's a period of time, correct? It's a mode of dealing. It happens to cover about 1500 B.C. to Christ till he ascended to heaven. But dispensation is not talking about time. It's a method of governing or a plan. How the master of the house dispenses his blessings. Think dispensation or administration. That's the idea of the word dispensation. All right, we're going to look at two things under the Jewish dispensation today in our study. First, the tabernacle. So go to Exodus chapter 25. So when I turn to Exodus 25, where am I at in the grand scheme of things in the biblical history? Where are we? At Mount Sinai. About what period of time? 1450, somewhere along in there. That's right. So we kind of get a feeling for where we're at by doing this overview, this survey. All right, so they reach Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19. And then Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, all the way through 24 other laws. And now chapter 25. By the way, the book of Exodus, you got three divisions. 1 through 18, or you could go 1 through 19. 1 through 18 is the Exodus. 19 through 24, the law. 25 through the end, the tabernacle. We want to learn kind of what's in these books. When we talked about Genesis, we asked you what is the book of Genesis about. These are on the 100 questions. And so, obviously, beginnings of the universe, man, woman, marriage, sin, death, Israel, etc. That's what the book of Genesis is about. Beginnings of those things that are fundamental to truth and reality and to our faith. Book of Exodus, the first 18 chapters, a pinnacle event in history, the Exodus, 19 through 24. The rest of your Bible talks about the law. And so the Ten Commandments and other laws that were connected with that up through chapter 24. And then chapter 25 through the end, the building of the tabernacle. First, the instructions. And then, of course, the sorry events that happened at Sinai. And then the actual building of the tabernacle in the latter part of the book. All right, so that's what Exodus is about. We're in chapter 25. So look at verse 9. Now, Moses had been up in the mountain. Did he see anything up there besides God? A pattern. He was shown a pattern. You read these instructions about the tabernacle, they may not be real clear to you. And so maybe you get instructions about how to make a dress or how to make a recipe for food. But boy, if you had a video or had a drawing, for example, you're going to build a table and you might have instructions about how to build a table. But what if you had a picture of it in detail showing you? That's what he had. He had a pattern that was shown to him in the mountain. Look at verse 6. According to the pattern I'm going to show you, as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. The building of the tabernacle is a great lesson on the idea of pattern. And that the God we serve is a God who uses patterns. So as you read through Exodus chapter 25 and you start reading about all the various pieces of furniture, the dimensions that are given for the tabernacle. For example, we know there were two rooms in the tabernacle. One called the holy place, one called the holy of holies, or the most holy place. Did it make any difference what size they were? What difference did it make? Because God said, that's it. That's it exactly. So Moses said, well, I think this would be better if it was a foot wider or a foot longer. No, here are the dimensions. And in the holy place, there was a lampstand. Remember, this is a tent, so it's all covered up. So it'd be dark in there. So there's a lampstand. Wouldn't it be nice to have two lampstands?
Not what God said.
Not what God said. Did God say not to make another lampstand?
No.
So when you're talking to people about why we worship like we do, be familiar with this. This is so useful in understanding how God communicated His will. And so you can read chapter 25 through the end of the book, and you see these instructions. And you know, if you open your Bible there to chapter 25, the end of the chapter, you make them after the pattern for them which was shown you on the mountain. And this concept is repeated over and over and over again. Chapter 26, verse 30, you shall erect the tabernacle according to His plan, which you have been shown on the mountain. So God has a plan or a pattern. You can use either word. And Moses was to follow God's plan or pattern. Now, what does the word dispensation mean? Tell me again. What? I didn't hear you.
Mode of dealing.
A mode of dealing. Okay, can it be called a plan? Yes, God's plan for dispensing His blessings. And so if God's plan for building the tabernacle, which we'll see in our study and also in the lesson I'm going to preach in a few minutes, if the Lord is willing, there were indeed blessings. But God had a plan. And that plan had to be respected to enjoy what God had in store for the people. Look over at chapter 40 in the book of Exodus. And I'm being selective. This can be multiplied if you want to do your own study. You can do a search if you have a digital Bible on the word commanded or that kind of thing. And you'll see over and over and over again in chapters 25 through 40 that this idea is emphasized. But we're right to the end now. And they've erected the tabernacle. And you'll note these things that you read. Verse 16 of chapter 40. Thus Moses did, according to all that the Lord God had commanded him, so he did. Look at verse 19. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering of the tent on top of it, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse 21, same thing, the Ark of the Testimony, just as the Lord commanded Moses. You can go through this chapter. You'll see it in 25. You'll see it in 27. You'll see it again in 29, you'll see it again in 32. So Moses, the writer of the first five books of the Bible, laying a foundation stone for the Israelite nation. What foundation stone is laid here? That you follow God's plan. You do just as He commanded. Now he's going to preach a sermon in the plains of Moab. We have it in our Bible. What book talks about that sermon he preached in the plains of Moab?
Deuteronomy.
And in that sermon, he's going to really stress this with these people. Why sometimes do you really stress something, you who are parents? Maybe you put special emphasis on something with your children. Why?
Want them to remember
it. It's important. And so Moses over and over and over again stresses this. And it also, you know that your children may have a tendency to kind of get slack about that. So over and over and over again, he emphasizes that. You know what we're learning something about? We say, well, we're learning about Moses. Yes, we're learning about Moses. We're learning about the Jewish nation. Yes, we're learning about the Jewish nation. But more importantly, we're learning something about the God we serve. And there's the benefit of studying these Old Testament passages to see something about this being that we exalt and worship as God. Look at Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5. He's talking about the priest of the old covenant. He says, they serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. So what heavenly things are you talking about? Well, keep reading. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, for see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So, when he was in the mountain, he saw a pattern. And he was to build the tabernacle according to that pattern. And you see that word right here in Hebrews 8:5 again. You read about it over there in Exodus. Here it is again. And he's going to go ahead and point out that tabernacle pattern that he was shown in the mountain, it was actually the type of God's redemptive work through Jesus that God already had in store, a much greater sacrifice, a much greater most holy place, a much greater significance to that veil that separated the holy place and the most holy place. All of that was encapsulated in that pattern that Moses saw in that mountain. And he develops that in chapters 8 and 9. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. The first covenant had regulations of divine worship and an earthly sanctuary. What's the earthly sanctuary? What's one word for that?
Tabernacle.
All right, and he goes on to discuss these two rooms. There's a tabernacle prepared, the outer one. And then there was the second veil, verse 3. And there was the golden altar of incense, verse 4, etc. And he talks about the tabernacle. And if you look down now, he said, verse 8. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed, while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol or a parable for the present time. So here's what happened in history. But God attached a greater meaning to it. And it came to pass, and he develops that in the rest of chapter 9, when Christ came as the sacrifice for men's sins and entered into the most holy place as our high priest with his own blood. He was both the victim and the priest at the same time. So anyway, that's the imagery that you use. You see that right here. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now people say, that's the Old Testament. We don't serve a God like that today. So here's a letter written by a preacher. This man's probably in his 60s. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's been serving Christ for now 30 plus years, very likely. He's writing his final letter that we know of. He's in prison. He's going to die in prison. And so he's writing to a young preacher. So what has he learned over 30 years of serving Christ and guided by the Holy Spirit? What's he going to encourage this young preacher to do? So look at chapter 1, verse 13. He said, retain, now this is the New American Standard, retain the standard of sound words. Your version may say pattern of sound words. Either word is good. A standard, a pattern. What pattern? What standard? Keep reading. Which you heard from me. So Timothy traveled with Paul, and Paul would teach Timothy. Besides the teaching that he did when he traveled with him, he wrote these two letters. In the first letter, he wrote, for example, in chapter 2 about woman's role. He wrote in chapter 3 about elders and their qualifications and their role. In chapter 5, he wrote about the family and family obligations. In chapter 6, he wrote about to the wealthy, for example, and our attitude toward money. Now, that's part of the pattern that Timothy was to preach. And so, just as Moses was not at liberty to change the pattern because he didn't see if it was important or not, or he thought there was a better way, preachers are not at liberty to change the pattern of sound words which Paul taught. How many letters did Paul write in your New Testament?
13.
That's right. And so here's 13 letters. He said, this is part of the pattern. And so we have this lesson taught to us back here in the Old Testament. It has definite application to today. All right, look at Romans 6:17. Romans chapter 6:17. Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. Same word as Hebrews 8:5, by the way. Pattern. Form of teaching to which you were committed. What is do you discuss in the first four verses of this chapter? Their baptism into Christ. Transferring them from the guilt of sin to a new life in Jesus Christ. When they were baptized, they were raised to walk in a new life. That's part of the pattern of obedience. So somebody said, we don't follow patterns today. We're under the liberty of the new law. Know these verses. Yes, you're under a pattern. There's a pattern for obedience. To enjoy redemption from sin. And he talks about that right here in this verse. What is a pattern? Now, you can go back to the Old Testament and illustrate what a pattern is with the tabernacle. Okay, so you have this tent built. And there was a select group of men who were authorized to go in there with daily activities, sacrifices, etc. Who were those men? All the Levites? Aaron and his sons. Levites is not an incorrect answer. That's right, they were Levites. But it's a specific group of Levites. Aaron and his sons were the ones that were authorized to enter the tabernacle and perform these duties. Okay, so look at the chart that you have on your sheet. The 12 tribes. And so here are those 12 boys. And you know we've got Levi there in the middle. Reuben, Simeon, Levi. And then Levi has these sons. They have sons and their sons. And then Amram. So you got to go down to Levi, then Kohath, and then Amram. You got Moses and Aaron who are brothers. But it's Aaron and his sons. What difference does it make? Who does it? As long as it's an Israelite. What difference does it make? God said it's part of the pattern. That's it. Aaron and his sons. And so they're the ones that's going to serve as priest. Now go to Matthew chapter 1. Here is verse 1, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So he's going to take, this is the first century when Jesus was born. Or possibly 4 years before, but right about that period. And the writer, Matthew, who is a Jew or Hebrew, is writing this document about a man named Jesus Christ. And he's writing it for fellow Jews. Those indications are throughout the book that he particularly has in mind a Jewish audience. Doesn't mean anybody can't benefit, Gentiles or Jews, but he particularly had in mind a Jewish audience. And that explains why he begins his letter like he did. Let's suppose that a Jew was told, there's this remarkable man named Jesus. He has remarkable teachings. I've even seen him do things that I don't know how you account for unless God is with him. He's a remarkable guy. He must be the Messiah. He must be the one God planned to send. What's the first question they might want to know?
Genealogy.
What?
Genealogy.
Where does he come from? And so that's where he starts right here. He says, the son of David, which we'll talk about in a later lesson, Lord willing, the son of Abraham. Why mention Abraham? That you do know the answer to. We've talked about that one. Because the promise to Abraham, where's that found? First time. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That's right. So here we have a connection between Genesis 12 and Matthew 1. And so you have this genealogy. And you'll note verse 3, Judah. Jesus came through Judah. Since Jesus came through Judah, you see your chart, could he serve as priest?
Not under the law.
Not under the law. But he's perfect. He never commits a sin. He has infinite wisdom. Looked like to me that would be the man to serve as priest. But he couldn't. He couldn't serve as priest under that law. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. So from our human reasoning standpoint, we might think if I had to pick one person who would be qualified to serve as a priest, it'd be this man named Jesus. But he couldn't. Why? Verse 14 of Hebrews 7. It is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah. That's what we have on your chart right there. A tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priest. Did Moses forbid, have a statement in there somewhere forbidding people from Judah to serve? No. But the authority was specific as to who could serve. Not just a Levite, not just a son of Jacob, not just a Levite. Not just a son of Kohath, and not even just a son of Amram, but Aaron and his descendants. So the Hebrew writer is making an argument, and he's writing to New Testament Christians, but he's appealing to this very thing we talk about when we talk about authority, generic and specific authority. Now, could the one that served as high priest be 6'3"? Is there anything in the Old Testament about being 6'3" to serve as priest? No. How is that authorized? Generically. Because it never says anything about height. It is authorized, but not specified as to the height. But the tribe he comes from is specified. And so the writer says, Moses, there's nothing in the... You can read Moses from beginning to end. There's nothing about someone by either example or statement or command serving from the tribe of Judah. Therefore, if Jesus is going to serve, here's what it requires. Verse 12. A change of law. That's exactly where we are today. If the things that men practice in religion are okay, you know what we need? A different Bible. We need to change the law because those things are not found in the new pattern, the New Testament pattern. So this is very valuable in our understanding divine authority. Now we talk about these priests. Turn back a couple pages in your Bible to chapter 5 of Hebrews. So we say, what is a priest? Now, when we go to define Bible words, there's a couple of approaches we can take, and I'm going to talk about this in the sermon later, Lord willing. We can go to a dictionary, and that's helpful. What does a dictionary do?
Tells you how words are used today.
Tells you how words are used today. So you get an idea of what people think when that word is used. That can be helpful. And if you're familiar with how to use a dictionary, oftentimes, if it's a good dictionary, it will have meanings that were used in years past. And then it might even have a section where it tells you the origin of words. That's very helpful when studying the word baptism, for example. But here's a better way to define a word. Just find a verse or verses that that verse or that context defines it for you. That's what we have in Hebrews 5:1. What is a priest? Here it is. Every high priest taken from among men is appointed, and here it is, on behalf of men in things pertaining to God to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So here's God, he's holy. Here's man, he's not holy. If man wants a relationship with God, there's somebody in between. The high priest. Man wants to approach God, he goes through the priest. God wants to talk to man, he does it through a prophet. So that's a valuable thing we can learn in this overview, this Bible survey. And so that's what the priest did. They offered gifts and sacrifices for the sins of the nation. So, let's go through the book of Leviticus. So we have Deuteronomy, the Sermon of Moses, which is the end of his five books. We're backing up during that year that they were there at Mount Sinai to some instructions relative to the Levitical tribe. We learned some things. We've already talked about that of the tribe of Levi, there was Aaron and his sons that were to serve as priests. And by the way, I have here the three easy divisions of the book of Leviticus. That's on your 100 questions, by the way. And so the first part, the book, the word Leviticus, the title of the book that pertains to the Levites. That's question number 13 on the 100 questions. Now, as I'm revising this course, as I go through it, I'm putting pointers to those 100 questions. So later, if you decide to download the latest copy of the class, you'll have pointers to that particular question in the 100 questions. And you'll be able to move those around if you want to. But what is the book about? That's question number 12 in the 100 questions. And that's where some people say I include more than 100 questions because I ask about several books. But you know what Genesis is about. You know what the Exodus is about. We talked about the three divisions of the Exodus. So here's what the book of Leviticus is about. And so we've got these three divisions. First seven chapters are the sacrifices that they were to offer. Chapters 8, 9, and 10 were the consecration of the priest. And then chapter 11 through the end are various laws that they were to practice and teach the people. So that's the three divisions of the book. Okay, now look at Leviticus chapter 10, verse 11. So we said chapter 11 on are various laws that they were to teach the people. Look at chapter 10, verse 11. Relative to the sin of Nadab and Abihu, who failed to respect the divine pattern for worship, by the way. We see here as God was speaking to Aaron, the father, about priests and their duties, he said there to verse 10, to make a distinction between the holy and the profane, between the unclean and the clean, and so as to teach the sons of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken to them through Moses. So while the Levitical tribe, we call it the priestly tribe, that's correct. Understand that not all Levites were priests. All priests were Levites. That is under the Mosaical system here. They were priests before the Levitical tribe. But at this time, it's the Levitical tribe. Those are the sons of Aaron that serve as priests. But Levites were teachers. And that's given them that responsibility here. Look at Deuteronomy 31. So here's that final sermon that Moses preaches. He's going to die, but he's instructing the nation. Deuteronomy chapter 31, you have that there on your lesson, beginning in verse 9. Now we talked about the law. We said Exodus 19 through 24, but we made a point in previous classes that the term law sometimes included not just the Ten Commandments, but other laws, and sometimes included all the first five books of the Old Testament. Look here at Deuteronomy 31:9. So Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of the Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he will choose, look what they're to do. They're to teach the law. What does that involve? You know what it involves? Doing what we're doing right now. Look at it. He said, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Now, you couldn't tell the people, turn over in your Bibles too. There was no Bible written. Moses was writing it. You have an advantage. You have a Bible in your hand. He says, read this law in front of Israel in their hearing. Assemble the men and the women and children. Look at our class. In a few moments, we'll dismiss and assemble again. Men, women, and children. The alien who's in your town, in order that they may hear. What else? And learn. What else? And fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. If you're a Bible teacher in a class back in the back, if you're a Bible teacher anywhere, here's your goal and aim. Not just academic instruction, but that people hear and fear and know God and serve Him, keep His commandments. That's the aim of Bible teaching. But you see again the priestly duty involved in that. Look at Ezra chapter 5. So we've laid this foundation back here in the first five books. Now we move all the way in your Bible to Ezra chapter 5. Did I say chapter 5? Ezra chapter 7, verse 5. Chapter 7, verse 5. Look here. Here's in the genealogy of Ezra, you'll note verse 5, he's the son of Aaron, the chief priest. And what was the priestly duty? To teach. Look at verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And so he went back to his land. And what does he do? Verse 10. Listen to verse 10. Ezra set his heart. There's, note the three things. Before you can teach, here's the first thing. To study. To study the law of the Lord. Here's the second thing. If you're going to teach it, you better practice it. Teach it. I mean, study it. And then practice it. Here's the third thing. And to teach. Isn't that great for a teacher? Here's your plan. Study, practice, teach. He was a priest. He understood his responsibility. Okay, and look at Ezekiel 22. So we move further down the, actually, we back up to Ezekiel in time, because they were taken into captivity. Ezekiel was one of the ones taken captive in one of the captivities. But he's trying to teach the people. And what led to their fall from God's grace and being captured by another nation? Here's one of the things that led to it. Chapter 22, verse 26. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. Remember reading that back there in Leviticus 10? They've made no distinction between the holy and profane. Listen, they have not taught the difference between. They failed in their duty to teach. So what's the church going to be when your children are grown, parents? What's it going to depend on? Well, we've got a good family. No, that's not. That's going to help, but that's not going to make the difference. It's whether you teach. Teach them to learn and fear and obey God. That's it. So parents have that responsibility. Preachers, elders have that responsibility. And certainly those who take the role of teaching need to understand this solemn responsibility. Now you'll see on your outline we have the duties of the Levites in Numbers chapter 3 and 4. We're not going to read all of that, but he talks about the various duties of the Levites. There's some very instructional things in that. When you read Numbers chapter 16 and the judgment that befell Israel, one of the reasons is because some of these Levites were not satisfied with the duties they had been given, and they rebelled against what Moses wrote, and thus the punishment of Numbers chapter 16. Now, in Numbers 18, if you have not read it in a while, it's a good reading. So you have the support of the priest. When they go into the land, the various tribes are going to be given land, except for one, the Levitical tribe. They're not given any land. So they can't farm and they can't raise animals. Well, how are they going to feed their families? God said, here's the way. You look at Numbers chapter 18. You see God's provision for the support of the men that he dedicated to offering sacrifice in the temple and teaching the word of God. He said, verse 8, behold, I myself have given you charge of all my offering, talking to Aaron, even all the holy gifts of the sons of Israel. I have given them to you as a portion and to your sons as a perpetual allotment. They shall be yours for the most holy gift. We get to talk about the various sacrifices that people would bring. Did they bring them to the priest? No, they brought them to the Lord. But the Lord gave them to the priest. Look at verse 12. All the best of the fresh oil, all the best of the fresh wine and of the grain, the first fruits of which they read it. Who do they give it to? The Lord. What does the Lord say? I give them to you. That was God's plan for the support of the priest. And in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9, Paul appeals to this very thing right here when he talks about his right of support and preaching the gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He's defending his right to be supported while he preaches the gospel. Verse 8 and 9, he said, I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? He appealed to some human examples first, but he said, that's not all that we have to illustrate this. A soldier doesn't serve at his own expense. A farmer partakes in the crops that he grows. But he said, does not the law say these things? And so then, by the way, you'll note law here will include numbers. And so he said, verse 9, you shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the corn. That's from Deuteronomy. But then you get down to verse 13. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple? That's Numbers 18. And those who attend regularly to the altar have their share with the altar. Note this, so also in the same manner. The Lord directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So people make contributions. They don't make it to the preacher. They make it to the Lord. God's plan is that's designed to support those men who are devoting their time and energy to the preaching of the gospel. In the additional notes, you have some notes, if you're interested in it, about Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim that you can look at. We have a picture of the tabernacle, which, by the way, indications are it was always pitched facing east. We'll have a footnote in the revised edition showing the support for that. Real quickly on the quiz. Number one, what's the correct answer or answers? A tent of worship dedicated for the Israelite nation. That's what the tabernacle was. Moses constructed the tabernacle. Correct answer? C, according to the pattern shown to him while he was on the mountain. Now, D is what a lot of people would do. Well, let's go see what the other nations are doing and form it like that. No, There was a pattern given to it. And then you get down to 3. The priest who officiated at the altar. What's the correct answer or answers? People are a little hesitant on this one. All 4. Good. Good. All right. Christ was from the tribe of? Judah, D. And the Levites were? All 3. Supported by the tithes of the people, the priestly tribe, and teachers of the law. Okay, we've got your additional reading down there. If you haven't read that in a while, it'll be a good read. And be sure and look at all the drill questions. And our time is up for class.